Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Hail Varsity on a Monday afternoon. Danny Burke here waiting on Schmitty, running a little late here, had to step out. So we'll get the show started regardless. Feel free to call in 466-3776, 466-3776 here, Schmitty. Sorry, just wanted to take over your job for a little bit.
No, you're fine. I was down the hall talking to Jill. Welcome to Monday. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. I tell you what, we have so much to get into. Was it all Chicago Bears for the first 90 seconds?
No, I was about to get into what we were actually going to start talking about, but now that I think about it, I definitely should have just complained about my picks and gloated about my Bears, but I didn't seize the opportunity.
I think the one thing we were on the same page with was Dallas not traveling well to Indy.
Yep, that's right.
Other than that, man, what a weekend. We will have Fact Check Monday at 5:40. Great to be with you on Hail Varsity Radio. That is Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago, Chris Schmidt. And we welcome you into Hail Varsity Radio. You can join us 466-3776, 466-3776. Follow us on Twitter. Give us a follow at Danny Burke 5 at Schmidt underscore radio at Hail Varsity. You can also email Chris at HailVarsity.com. We'll get caught up with Dr. Petey. Derek Peterson was in Sioux Falls last night for Nebraska-Oklahoma State. Derek Peterson, Jacob Padilla, they were both in Minneapolis for Nebraska volleyball. That was a heartbreak. Now, I've been to a lot of bars, and I've been to a lot of places that have Nebraska volleyball on, which I totally get. This was the first time in my sports viewing life the whole family raced home to watch. That's my 12-year-old, that's my wife, and that's what we watched on Saturday night. We made a point to get home after basketball and check out Nebraska volleyball. And again, I think it's an incredible sport. I think Hail Varsity covers it like nobody. My level of insight to it is not as strong as others, so that's why I kind of cave to experts like Brandon Vogel and Derek Peterson, Jacob Padilla. So we'll hear from Derek in about 15 minutes. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, a Monday with Charlie, and then Jay Moore going to be with us in an hour and 20 as part of Blackshirt Monday. Okay, we'll get into Husker basketball, big time win. We'll have thoughts from Coach Tim Miles in Copeland. That kind of was a sluggish, just fist fight, bare knuckles, throwback, throwdown in Sioux Falls in the Pentagon. So that was interesting to watch. And then Nebraska just, they didn't play well and they're that good. I mean, they are getting to a certain level of wow, because they've got dudes, and a lot of teams don't have one, let alone three or four, and now maybe a fifth as Thomas Allen is emerging. But we're going to start with Nebraska volleyball. First, a thought on the match, the heartbreak, 3-2. You are sad for this team. You are sad for this head coach. You are sad for these incredible seniors, and you're also optimistic in the same breath because of how young and talented this team is. The question is, will the leadership translate? Will it transfer? Will it be paid forward? Every opportunity will be given that Michaela Fecky's tremendous career, and more so not just her ability, I think her ability and her leadership are on par, and that's rare. It's rare when your best player is also your best leader. And I think she has set the example of not just hard work, but also mental toughness and vocal leadership, right? I mean, that's something that Nebraska and Coach Cook are second to none with when it comes to player development. They get great players. Okay, they get insanely talented players, and they know where to look, and they know how big club volleyball is. They know what the state of Nebraska represents. They know what surrounding areas are. So they are on all cylinders, and they just continue to amaze because of what happens. They lose great talent, not only from the coaching box, but also on the court, and they just keep on keeping on. That's the greatness of John Cook. So your heart hurts for the team falling short against Stanford. I thought Stanford, from a physicality standpoint and just a talent and skill level, may sweep, covering my mouth here, Nebraska, just because all that Nebraska went through. It's not a knock on Nebraska. It's not that Nebraska's not talented, but Stanford's every inch is talented and more so. And that was an even showdown. I mean, first set was right there for Nebraska. Both teams ended up knocking the other out in 3 and 4. 5 was right there at 10 apiece, and then Stanford just made a few more plays. And that's how it shakes out, but it was a classic volleyball ball game. Forgive my language and my lingo. It's like other sports and championship matches I'm going to react to, but you're invested in it because you are so, as a Nebraska fan, and you have had a growth in, I think, the volleyball demographic. You've got your Nebraska volleyball fans that have gone for decades, okay, to Nebraska volleyball since the Pettit era, okay, and it's grown. And women have loved volleyball and have watched volleyball, but a lot of men are getting into it and supporting this team because of how incredible they've been, and they've been the bar to chase for all of Nebraska athletics across any sport, okay? You want to be great. You want to be mentioned as a team that's it. Do what Nebraska volleyball does. Go win championships. Carry the university's sport like they have. Because Nebraska football has not been worth a damn, honestly, like high-level, championship level, for a while. They're getting there, you think, with Coach Frost. You feel good about it. But it's been Nebraska volleyball. And then you have the whole whiteboard situation. And listen, you can chime in. There's 10 minutes left of this segment. If you want to comment, if you're just like, sick of it, I get it, because it's been ongoing. My wife mentioned it to me Sunday morning before we had 58 basketball games, which were awesome. Way to go, Junior. And then I saw it. I read about it. We talked about it this morning over on KFOR. Got great feedback there. Okay, so here on one hand, the left hand is out. It's a locker room. It's the athletes' haven. It's their personal spot in space. A lot of things go on in locker rooms that aren't supposed to be for public consumption. What you do have right now is access everywhere. Everyone gets to see behind the scenes because, thank you, social media, right? Twitter, right there. Twitter is there with two Stanford players running with scissors, and then the shot of Herbie and the Stanford Cardinal / tree flipping off Herbie, and it's either a gun or a blow dryer. We can have this discussion, whether it's gun or blow dryer, and it's very insensitive to hell the Huskers. So it was some sort of art exhibit. And I hearken back to Full Metal Jacket. You're so ugly, you could be a modern art masterpiece. That was Drill Sergeant Emery to Gomer Pyle, as they called him. Gomer didn't react so well. And let's just say Emery didn't make it out of the first half hour of the movie. Listen. You are in a climate right now where anything that looks like or is a gun is going to be frowned upon because of school shootings, of office shootings, of public shootings. You have a bunch of psychos out there that have access to firearms that should not. And people die. And that sucks. You do have a team that thought this was their sanctuary. I'm not defending the drawing by any means. I'm defending the bubble that is said locker room. There have been bounties before in the NFL. There have been bounties in college football. All right? Things get insane in the locker room. Why? because you're looking for that extra oomph, that extra edge. Did this drawing help Stanford win the fifth set? I don't know. But what people are talking about yesterday and today on social media, and your athletic director had a 2 a.m. I'm sorry response and statement. Not the head coach, the player who drew this, or players who drew this hasn't come forward. Right now they're talking about Stanford and their lack of being a good sport or a good champion. Nebraska fans in the same vein want the championship, and this isn't an issue if Nebraska wins. So my take on it, people are going to be upset about it, but they're more upset about it because Nebraska lost, and you're looking to be pissed off about something. Don't draw it. It's stupid. Or draw it, but don't get caught, I guess is my advice. Let's go back to Brian. He's been hanging on. Brian, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Schmitty, it's been a while.
I know, man. What do you know?
Oh, you know, just counting down the days till Husker football season.
It's all right. It's always Husker football season, brother.
Yeah. Well, two points. That's a great likeness of Kirby. And two.
It is. And they started the color of the end in and then stopped.
Yeah, they must have had to go play the game.
They're saying that might have been blood.
No, yeah. I think they ran out of red.
They didn't have enough red and they're playing Nebraska?
Apparently. But go ahead.
Anyway, my second point is, you know, I thought Nebraskans were more thicker skinned than, you know, they're kind of acting like Californians.
Yeah. No, you would think that would be something that ultra, ultra liberal Stanford would freak out about. Not be authoring.
They're pretty close to San Francisco, ain't they?
They're in. I mean, they're just north. Palo Alto's north. Yeah. Yep.
Wow. Wow. Well, the more you know.
It's all good. Hey, thanks for the phone call, Brian. Appreciate it. He said Commie-fornians. If you're over this, I get it. Got to talk about it. Nebraska won't comment. Nebraska probably, like, yeah, it's in poor taste, but knowing this Nebraska team and this Nebraska head coach, they're pissed they didn't win the national championship.
Yeah, they couldn't care less about the drawing, let's be honest. And I'm on the same page as you. I was filling in on Greg Ethan Hooks this morning and kind of get my take, but basically I said the same thing. If Nebraska doesn't lose that game, no one gives a damn about it. I mean, if somehow the picture still gets leaked and Nebraska wins, it's more of a, oh, look, you drew that, and we still beat you, you did all that, just more of a mocking thing. I mean, some people would still probably get offended, but it all comes down to just in the heat of the moment of being mad they lost.
You can be offended about pointing a gun to Herbie's temple, or you can be offended about the middle finger. As Pharmacist Jeff emails in, they're a effing tree.
I was going to say, the best part is actually pretty funny that the tree's flipping him off because the gun apparently wasn't enough. It also had to be flipping off Herbie at the same time.
So how are we to interpret this? I mean, there's a bunch of hashtags that says yeah, to hell the Huskers. Is it?
Some of them are from a rap song. Some
okay,
of the hashtags.
So break that down for me. It's not directed at any players.
No.
Okay.
There's nothing personal on there that I saw.
So it's screw you, give me your money. Is that how I interpret this?
Yeah, pretty much.
Because Herbie's got his left hand up and the football under the right arm and his corn sticking out of his back pocket. Nebraska fans are upset they lost. Not mad at the team, but just deflated that you lost the chance at another championship. But then this is insult to injury with it.
Right.
I'd love to get Nebraska. I'd love to hear Michaela Fecky's take on it. I'd love to hear Coach Cook's thoughts. I'd like to hear those close with the volleyball program. They're just going to go high road with it. I get it. Now, the Stanford head coach, here's what I thought was interesting. Stanford's best player of the year, forget her name, forgive me. But either her brother or sister was on social media blasting John Cook about how unethical and two-faced and da-da-da-da-da he is as a recruiter. I mean, so you have Stanford's coach that's, he'd sell you a car, and as soon as you got off the lot, it wouldn't run. That's how I feel about the guy. Just, again, people watching, knee-jerk reaction, slime ball. Just what he is. He's probably not, but that's the first impression. If you're a Nebraska fan, you've moved on to, this team's going to be damn good again next year. They'll be right in the thick of it again next year. And Nebraska's kind of at that level right now where they're like Duke basketball, or Ohio State football or Alabama football or LSU baseball, where unless they get to Omaha, unless they get to the college football playoff, unless they get to the Final Four, or unless they finish in the top two in the Big Ten or top three, then, man, the expectations continue to grow. But what's really cool about this volleyball program is the fact that the bar is so high, they keep touching it and getting hold of that bar. That's 1,000% impressive. That's going to be my lasting impression. And the long-term thoughts here on Stanford, this will always be brought up around here. From a national standpoint, I don't know. I would like the artist or artistes to come forward. I'd like an explanation. No one needs to go to jail. No one needs to be suspended. For God's sake, I read that someone should have their title stripped. No. No thank you on that.
Well, if anything, I feel
you're in
like,
the moment angry that you
like
lost.
I feel like the coach has the most responsibility when it comes to that.
Well, but here's the other thing. You got both teams playing at such a high level, the team's ran by its players, where he just kind of delegates. Mm-hmm. And then here's the game plan. Let's go do it. He knew, but he probably did not green light. Derek Peterson was there in Minneapolis. He's also in Sioux Falls. HailVarsity.com's Derek Peterson next.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Signing day extravaganza with Hail Varsity, 10 to noon. We're doing a live video. Jay Moore, myself, HailVarsity.com. Some film breakdown. We'll check in with all of our Hail Varsity folks that are on location, different spots. Then an extended Hail Varsity radio show, 2 to 6. Danny Burke is injecting Red Bull right now. On location in Oklahoma will be Derek Peterson. Big time get down in Sooner/Cowboy land for the Big Red. We say hi to Dr. PDHV, is where you follow him on Twitter. Great analysis, as always, on volleyball, basketball, football. You pick a sport, he's got it for HailVarsity.com and magazine. Derek, what's good, man? How are you?
I'm tired, dude. I'm driving glorious US 81 through Kansas right now, and there's nothing around but grass.
Ah. So. The wrong kind
been
of
driving all day.
The wrong kind of grass. So you're headed down to Oklahoma for signing day and to see some fam.
Yes, sir.
And you're back from Minneapolis to Sioux Falls, from Sioux Falls down 81 to Kansas, the home of Les Miles in basketball. So I want to start with basketball first, and yeah. Your takeaway with Nebraska's effort last night. It looked choppy and very sluggish. That was more about Oklahoma State's physicality. I think Nebraska's final 3 minutes was tremendous. And then they blew the roof off in the second half. Okie State couldn't shoot, man. They went minutes upon minutes without scoring. And wow, I don't know how great Okie State is. I think there's some talent there. But Nebraska just, they're not playing that great, and they're still rolling people.
Yeah, so, first of all, I think Oklahoma State's a good team. I've watched, given who my brother roots for, I've watched a lot of Oklahoma State. I think they're better than what their record indicated. And I think Nebraska was preparing for a team that was better than what the record indicated. That was a game, Jacob Padilla and I were both there. We were worried about it, man. I'm telling you, when we're sitting there, 2 hours before tip-off, we're watching team go through shoot-around. Obviously, the sickness happened this week. Mm-hmm. They had to clean out the locker room and desanitize or clean everything, basically. Thomas Allen drove up with a graduate assistant by himself the morning of the game so as to not infect other players on the team. Amir Harris obviously didn't even travel with the team. And then we get there and we're watching them go through shoot-around and they're not making anything. They're bricking a bunch of shots. And Jacob and I kind of looked at each other and we're like, oh, boy, this is going to be a rough night because Oklahoma State – to borrow a phrase from Tim Miles, can shoot the cover off the ball. A really good three-point shooting team. And in the beginning of that game, I think, it was a combination of just kind of everything hitting Nebraska at once. It was being off for a week. It was the illness. It was the kind of Illinois-style aggressive, overplay everything defensively and get up in your face defensively. And I think, too, one of the really small things that maybe people might not have noticed, but I think affected Nebraska, the three-point line. So the gym they were playing at was it doubles as a G League, NBA G League mm-hmm. arena for a team. So they had the NBA three-point line on, and Nebraska was taking a ton of threes from behind that three-point line. And I think that was and they were running offense behind it as well. I think that was affecting them a little bit. But, you know, I thought early on, I thought the offense, the lack of rhythm and the lack of shot making, it bled over into the defense. And I think the effort there kind of slipped a little bit. As you saw, the half kind of wear on. Oklahoma State got that lead. I think they got it up to 7 with about 3 minutes left. Miles took a timeout, and they came out. Copeland knocked down a couple huge, huge shots for Nebraska. And that kind of got everything going. And usually it's been the defense that has kick-started the offense. And in this case, it was the offense that kick-started the defense. That was a very, very Nebraska-friendly crowd. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, those couple buckets got the crowd into it. And then Nebraska, from that point on, it was like, okay, let's start playing defense now. And the switch kind of flipped. And, you know, the second half, they just smothered Oklahoma State. They were 0-for behind the three-point line. And that was a top 15. I think they were 13th or something in three-point percentage in the country. That was a really good three-point shooting team, and they went 0-for-9 in the second half, and Nebraska's defense played a large part in that. That was a big win. I said after the Creighton win, I didn't think that they were going to have a bigger win this season just in terms of what it meant and overall scope. But that was a pretty significant win, and you look at the way their non-conference has shaken up, and they've lost once, and it was to a really good Texas Tech team. All the other games that they needed to have, they won. They beat Seton Hall. They beat Clemson. They beat Oklahoma State, and they beat Creighton. So now, you know, you can go into Big Ten play. You can have a little bit of slippage off of what you had last year because the Big Ten is also better. Mm-hmm. And I think the work that Nebraska has done in the non-conference, I think kind of punctuated by this Oklahoma State win, I think it's going to set them up nicely as the season goes on. They still got Cal State Fullerton and the team this weekend that I'm blanking on, but you got to close those out, but I think Nebraska is proving that it's a team that you can kind of pencil those in.
Yeah, Derek, you brought up Thomas Allen. He kind of had his own mini version of the flu game, putting up 14 points coming off the bench. Copeland also had a good game, 16 points. He's been the most consistent player, I'd argue. Palmer was still doing his star-studded performance with 29. Glenn did okay with 7, but I want to ask you about Isaiah Roby. He only got 5 points. Are you a little bit concerned with Roby on the offensive end this year?
I think, obviously he hurt his knee in the game, and nobody asked him about it afterward. Nobody asked Miles about it afterwards, but he hurt his knee in the game. I think that hampered him from that point on. But I think the thing with Roby is kind of the thing that has always been the case with Roby. He can't stay out of foul trouble, and so that limits kind of his time on the court, which limits an ability to get into rhythm because his games are so choppy. And he's just not as aggressive as I would like him to be on the offensive end. He's still got to work a little bit on the handle and being able to take dudes off the dribble, but he is more athletic than 90% of the guys that guard him, and he can beat them. I really love when they run post-ups with him and they kind of put him at the elbow or put him at the high block and have everybody kind of space around him and do kind of a four-out with him kind of manning a post-point role. I love it when they do that. I think he's really effective. He's a good passer there. But when a lot of what they try to do is just swing the ball around and get him on the outside, and then if the three-point shot is open, take it, and if not, kind of fake and try to dribble around a guy and drive. I feel like he needs to be a little bit more aggressive, seeking out better shot opportunities for him. I feel like his teammates also need to do a better job of getting him into spaces where he can be most effective. And I feel like the offense, too, it needs to do a better job of maybe maximizing his offensive talent. They don't run a ton of post-ups to him, but I would like to see more of them because, especially if you're running, the starters that Nebraska has, that's 4 shooters that you can put around him with Thomas Allen and Glenn Watson and Copeland being a capable three-point shooter. I think Roby is still their best draft prospect. I don't think anything about this season has changed that. He's still a really enticing player at the next level, but I would like to see him be more aggressive, and I would like to see the offense kind of nudge him in that direction a little bit, if that makes sense.
Derek Peterson's with us on his way to Oklahoma for signing day. And can follow him on Twitter at Dr. PDHV. He's on his way south from Sioux Falls, where he covered Nebraska, Oklahoma State. Prior to that, you were at Minneapolis. Got about 3.5 minutes here. First, yep. Surmise the Nebraska volleyball season. Secondly, I need your whiteboard gate take on the on the artwork.
I called it picture gate. That's what I'm going to stick with.
Okay.
Nebraska's season, I'll start there since that was the first one that you asked. But, you know, Jacob Padilla covered the hell out of that thing. He's got a great write-up on HailVarsity.com, kind of a Final Four notebook that he looked at everything. To have something like three-quarters of their team underclassmen and to be able to play at the level that they played at, it was really impressive to watch. For them to not blink against a team in Stanford that everybody thought going in was so much better. And then obviously they swept BYU and it was looking like, oh my God, this team is amazing. They've got giants and a just superstar in Plummer. And Nebraska didn't blink. Nebraska wasn't afraid. On the back of their warm-ups heading into the game, they had .136, which was their defensive hitting percentage this year. You know, they believed in themselves. They had confidence in themselves. And I think that stems from just a culture that John Cook has built within this program. And I know I'm not saying anything new, but just as somebody that doesn't know this team as intimately as other people do that might have been there covering them, but I was really impressed with the way that they can kind of just, you know, they lost Kelly Hunter last year, who was arguably one of the greatest, not just volleyball players at Nebraska, but student athletes in Nebraska history. And to be able to kind of find somebody in Nicklin Hames that can not completely replace the production, but make it so that you're not really missing any beats. And then to have Michaela Fecky turn into just like the Terminator in the month of December. I mean, she was awesome. And then Kinsey Maloney in the back, you know, the most outstanding player of the match for Stanford was their libero, and she was awesome and she earned it. And she overshadowed Kinsey Maloney, who played a fantastic last match of her senior year. You know, I thought this is a team that it looks really, really impressive. Lauren Stivers looks like she's going to be the next great. And, you know, I'm expecting big things. This is not the end of the Final Four run just because they've got two great players leaving. This is the start of something pretty special, I think.
About a minute here on the art.
Oh, I don't know, man. I wasn't offended by it. I don't think there was anything offensive. There wasn't, like, you know, curse words directed at Nebraska. It was just a bunch of college kids being college kids, I think. But it was very unprofessional. It was very, like it was, if the coaches didn't see that, I don't know how they didn't see that. I don't know how, you know, whoever posted that picture on Twitter didn't see it and was like, oh, maybe we should do this. Mm. Like, I just thought it was detracting from a phenomenal final match for volleyball, and it turned the focus away from Stanford, who earned it. They earned the national championship. I thought Nebraska did too, but Stanford played fantastic. And I think it kind of took the focus off of their play and put it on something that really just it shouldn't have happened. That picture shouldn't have come out. If they want to draw stuff on whiteboards, go for it. I mean, don't be childish. Don't be unprofessional, because that was just childish. That was how I took it.
Derek Peterson, he'll be on site for Mr. Nance. And Oklahoma is his home, and that's where he's headed. Little signing day special. We'll be in touch with Derek Peterson. You can read him on HailVarsity.com at Dr. PDHV on Twitter. Derek, be good, brother. Safe travels. Thanks for the time.
Sounds good. Thanks, man.
Appreciate you. There he is, all over the world. The Dr. PD Tour.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Good stuff from Derek Peterson. Thoughts on Nebraska volleyball and Husker hoops. He is off to Oklahoma to cover the Nance signing on Wednesday. Big time wideout. Can't wait for signing day. 2019, the class, Jay Moore, myself, HailVarsity.com, a live video show from 10 to noon, and then 2 to 6, 4-hour Hail Varsity on Wednesday, myself and Danny Burke and special guests all around. So I'm...
You're going to need a lot of coffee, man.
I'll be good. I'm fine. It's awesome. I love signing day.
Oh, yeah. Last year was fun.
Yeah, I love talking with the kids. I love talking with the analysts. Love volleyball and back and forth with you. And I like the staff. Love what they're doing. I like the in-state. So flipping through Facebook, have you ever tried the, and I don't know where they're located, but we'll get to the Husker basketball game here in a second. What's the hottest wings you've tried? Like, are you a hot, hot, hot? Give me.
See, no, I'm not a hot guy, so I can't really speak on that, I guess.
Are there, like, you've had spicy and then you no more, you're done?
Pretty much, yeah. I've just never really been a big spicy guy. The thing is, I like the taste of spicy food, but, like, I can't enjoy it because I can't handle spicy stuff that much, if that makes sense.
Well, I watch Triple D, and I love the food aspect of it. So, this 666 sauce, apparently, is he's trying something super, super hot. And you have a puree of ghost peppers, scotch peppers, and habanero. I've had habanero sauce once.
Yeah, I think I have too.
And I've had habanero at like my favorite Mexican restaurant. And it's good at the time, and then it heats you up, and then it kicks you later.
Right.
But I've never had ghost peppers. And I remember the story Searles would tell about Hog was the former coach's name, the nickname. They'd always put ghost peppers on his sandwiches.
Jeez.
Jeff Dramrog was the coach. And he'd start sweating and his stomach would get hurt. And the prank they'd run is they'd always put ghost peppers. They'd hide ghost peppers on his sandwich. And he'd be miserable. It'd taste good at the moment. And then, oh my God, you know, you got all.
I think one of my friends, his mom grew them naturally, so they tried it out for like a test, like back in middle school, just being idiots, and
you
same
take
thing,
a bite.
Like they're fine, and then they're just absolutely dying like
sure,
five,
like
10 minutes later.
Like the two British guys you've seen on Facebook do the video where they about die. Like they start just eating handfuls of ghost peppers or whatever the world's hottest pepper is, and then they lose it. I mean, like, they're crying, they're screaming, they're puking.
Chugging milk.
Yeah, you know the video I'm talking about. But anywho, this 666 sauce.
It's an appealing name.
Right. Guy and his crew ate them, and, like, they were turning beet red, and you got tears strolling down your cheek. And the thing is you eat wings, you do bone in. And you have sauce on your fingers, so you go to wipe your eyes. I mean, that's where the elbow happens.
Oh, yeah.
Off the top rope. Right there. I just wanted to throw out there. I've had habanero, but I've never tried anything with ghost. the death sauce, as it's called. I just wanted to throw that out there because 'tis the season with bowl games around the corner to do beer and wings. If it's 53 and awesome out, fire the grill up. I mean, you love this time of year for food and bowl game food.
Oh, yeah.
Many Nebraska fans made the roadie up to Sioux Falls for Nebraska and Oklahoma State. I thought I was a little nervous. We were talking about this game on Friday.
Hey, we were close to that line. I think it was 7.5 I saw beforehand, by the way.
I just thought Oklahoma State's a pretty good team. I was worried about the physicality, okay? And Coach Miles answered this after the game last night. Nebraska ended up winning comfortably. Nebraska rolled. Oklahoma State looked blindfolded on offense. That's how good Nebraska's defense was. And James Palmer didn't hit much in the second half. 0-for-6 from the field, but got to the line. Was great in the first half. Really, I mean, he scored half of Nebraska's points. In the final 3 minutes of that first half was key. Nebraska was down 7. Cope hit a couple of big shots. Had a 5-0 little Cope run. And then Nebraska went up by 2 into halftime, and that flipped things. Nebraska went on 11-2 run, erased a 7-point deficit, went up, and then continued a 9-0 run. I mean, they opened up. And I think the key here with Nebraska, as you look at the last couple of games, it's not just been Palmer being awesome, 30-29, but it's also been Thomas Allen. We'll get to Thomas Allen here in a minute. But Glenn had an off night, didn't matter. Thomas Allen was 5-for-7, was good from 3, sick or not, he is really, to be honest with you, he's to me the last two games He's proved it, but I think moving forward, he can be Nebraska's number three. Doesn't have to be, but I'm saying from a consistency standpoint, in these games, what I've gotten right now is you're getting Palmer, you're getting Copeland. Who's number three? Three. Roby, off last night. Glenn, 2 for 11, off. Glenn did nice things, didn't have the offense, didn't have the efficiency. Well, Glenn can be off and still do things, and you got Thomas Allen scoring 14. Thomas Allen can keep doing this, man. Nebraska, look out, because Cope and Palmer are going to be money, okay? But Thomas Allen could emerge as the better offensive option than Roby and then Glenn Watson. Not trying to be hot, too hot takey, not trying to be too jump on the bandwagon, but I've seen a lot of Thomas Allen. You know how big a recruit he was, Kansas, NC State, Nebraska. Nebraska won out because of the NC State coaching change. And you see why. Dude can drive. The guy's smart. He's upped his defensive game, and he can stroke. He can shoot. But was this game, and it felt so choppy, it felt physical, it felt like you're playing 21 during recess. The offense was so limited because of how physical it was. And here's Tim Miles. Was he worried about Texas Tech Part 2.0? And that's going to be the reference point the rest of this year is when Nebraska gets the crap kicked out of them or they're not playing physical enough. You always go back to Texas Tech. Okie State, not that far off from a physicality standpoint.
You know, I think you could see by our body language early in the game that our guys were, you know, you could feel one of the close to the proximity of the environment, I think, made it feel like they were pressuring harder and they started switching all our stuff. Just the way it felt to me, the guys are like, kind of, it's like you're trying to break a horse and they're chomping on the bit, you know, they're not really taking it. I thought the last 3.5 minutes of the first half, we changed one of our entries into our offense, and that really helped. We cut harder, moved better. And then we've really played defense well down the stretch. So I thought we got stronger as the game went on. You know, I thought we had to kind of process the whole deal, maybe vent it out. You know, you saw them bickering a little bit, and our timeouts were fun, exciting. I think BTM was supposed to be on the 8 men, and I think they took a pass. Let's put it that way. So, you know, when you look at that, I think the guys felt that, like what you felt, which is this Texas Tech all over again? But they were able to overcome that.
That was big. That was big that they're learning from all their experiences. They're not panicking. And then what was a tight game and you're struggling for any points on offense, 32 to 30 in the first half. I mean, you'd go periods of that first half with zero offense. And the only points you got was free throw line or JPJ drilling a three or getting to the rim. He was that good, that vital. We'll hear more from Tim Miles before we say goodbye this first hour. 15 minutes away, 15-minute warning. Charlie McBride, Mr. Blackshirt, Mondays with Charlie. Also, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, a part of your Blackshirt Monday. Some NFL thoughts from Danny Burke, myself. Fact check Monday at 5:40. How'd the boys in the desert do against Danny? How'd Danny do against the boys in the desert?
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio with you on a Monday. Chris Schmidt and the Pride of Chicago's Danny Burke. 10 minutes away, it is Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride. Get his thoughts on the upcoming signing day 2019 class. Reminder about Madonna Proactive. Why wait till January to make a New Year's resolution? Make your resolution to better health today. Sign up in December and pay no initiation fee and get January for free with an annual contract. Make a phone call and go visit Madonna Proactive today, 56th and Pine Lake, 402-420-0000, or log on madonnaproactive.org. Of course, Therapy Plus, 3 locations in Lincoln with Madonna and a West Omaha location. They are there with the state-of-the-art equipment, including the therapy pool and AquaTrack that I tell you about that Madonna Proactive has. It's indoor, it's enclosed, and it helps you if you've had surgery or had some issues with knee, ankle, foot, weight-bearing issues. That AquaTrack's 4 miles per hour. It's 95 degrees, and it gets you back and going. And it, say you're fine with your legs, your knees, your feet, whatever. It's just a good workout going against that 4 mile per hour current. It's the anti-lazy river. Some of us have been on a lazy river and gone clockwise before with a drink in our hand. Well, you're going against a current that whoops your butt. Think about that. Pretty good stuff. Can log on today, Madonna, oklahomastate.org. Okay, one last thought here from Tim Miles on Oklahoma State. And he's right with this about warming to the fight. It's like Nebraska kind of stopped and stepped back and said, they're not supposed to do that to us. We're Nebraska. And then they got their mind right and got a little gritty, got a little feisty. And I liked that. And I think seeing a guy like Thomas Allen, who'd been in the hospital Wednesday night till 3 a.m., getting it from both ends, right, with that stomach bug, and then coming up 7 a.m., day of yesterday with a grad assistant, man, showed some guts. I think that inspired some of his fellas. And here's Tim Miles about his guys responding the right way, kind of clinching that fist.
Yeah, I think they only scored once on our 1-3-1, but the second half defense I thought was just really good. You know, sometimes with Oklahoma State, the way they played so physical, you've got to run to that fight. And we didn't. You know, we kind of warmed to the fight, took a look at our blood. Okay, you know, we'll fight. And I thought that was really good. And you could see the second half, how well we played defense. And you know, then we were able to get foul line early and often.
That was good. That was big time. We have concert tickets to give away. Danny, what do you got in front of you?
We got a 5 pair of New Kids on the Block tickets, your favorite.
No.
Saturday, June 8th, it looks like, is the date.
Yeah, so we got a pair of those. That's nice. That's big time. How do we want to do these? Do we want to do New Kids on the Block karaoke? Because, I mean, that's a pretty good setup, isn't it? I mean, you've got New Kids on the Block, but you've got other really impressive late 80s and 90s artists as part of this. Does that even, like, register with you, New Kids on the Block, 23-year-old?
Yeah, I mean,
it's okay.
I know who they are.
That's good. I mean,
22, by the way.
Okay.
Almost my Jordan year. But, no, what about, you didn't jam to them?
No.
No. That's right, you had all that rap that your dad hated.
Yeah, well. It's the mother of all stories. You're grounded. I had some guy on your stereo call me a bleep. We'll give those... We'll give a pair of tickets away to New Kids on the Block next hour. May require some karaoke. May not. Send me your worst late 80s hairdo.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in hour two, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of North Chicago is Danny Burke. The pride of South Chicago is the one and only legendary defensive coordinator, Mr. Blackshirt, part of Blackshirt Monday, Charlie McBride. Coach, you getting ready? Do you have that Santa hat picked out?
I thought today they were going to shut our electricity down at 5 o'clock, and then, but it's tomorrow night. So that's how smart I am. I don't even know what's going on around here.
You know what? Just enjoy the retirement. Enjoy the I don't want to say winter wonderland, but enjoy the beauty up north there, Coach, on the lake.
That's right. It's beautiful. The lake's frozen over, and it's frozen over clear, which means this place will be loaded with skaters because it's the ice is smooth.
Did you?
So that'll make it a fun Christmas winter.
Did you ever? You ever do hockey?
Just crude type. Just
sure.
That we all had sticks and we made our own goals and yeah, we didn't have nets. Mm-hmm. We just had blocks and stuff. But that's about it. But we had one player whose dad actually played for the Blackhawks.
Oh, really?
He was retired, but he, you know, and he was really a good skater. I mean, he learned early. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, how proud of you are the girls' volleyball team?
They're incredible. And they did the hashtag for social media on Twitter, Black Shorts instead of Black Shirts, because of how proud of their defense they were. They were right there against Stanford. The narrative has been what was on the whiteboard and in the Stanford locker room. That's overshadowed how great the game was. And, Coach, you've been in a locker room, and you know it's a place where guys got to get amped up. I mean, guys are ready to play Miami or Oklahoma, or you pick a team.
Yeah.
But still you're getting cranked up for it. I mean, it's emotional, and there are things that are now seen because of society today that aren't necessarily meant for everyone's eyes. It doesn't excuse it. It's just a fact of life. What do you think of the girls on Saturday night? Husker women did such an amazing job with Coach Cook. And what's your thought on the whiteboard, the locker room drawing?
Well, I don't know, but I really didn't know much about that drawing. But what I saw was some kids that really I watched them in probably I don't know how many games this year, whatever was on TV we saw.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they come back, the way they and you know, I sat there and Debbie and I sat there and. You know, I said to her, I said, I don't, you know, if they lose, it doesn't make, I think they won, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, that game could have gone either way in a second. And, you know, it's one of those deals that just wasn't that night, it wasn't theirs. And mm-hmm. that's the way it goes. But as far as their ability and things like that, boy, they really worked hard. I mean, they worked their tails off and, you know, I think that's the promising thing about things to come.
It is, and they've been there, and they keep not only replenishing great talent, but it's developed talent, and then the leadership aspect, it seems to be transferring. It's easy to say, but hard to do, and mm-hmm. that's kind of what you want, isn't it? You want those older players to bring the younger players along so the baton is passed, so to speak.
Well, we got beat one year, and then all of a sudden this thing was unfinished business, and the next year we just ripped up the place. And, mm-hmm. You know, but I don't know. I didn't hear anything about the board deal. What was that exactly?
Well, let me explain it to you. You have the NCAA, their Twitter, okay, took a picture of Stanford coming into the locker room, okay? And on the whiteboard in the locker room was a picture of Herbie Husker with flames and the Stanford Cardinal tree mascot in one hand, flipping off the Herbie Husker mascot, your number one. In the other hand, it was either a gun or a hairdryer. I didn't see a cord, so I'm leaning toward it being a gun. So that's the image, and the Stanford athletic director had to put out an apology because it was captured on social media, then deleted, but then folks saw it and said, what's this? And then there's been outcry. There's been no comment by Nebraska. The coach for Stanford has not apologized. The artist or the artists have not come forward, and right. Nebraska fans are angry about it because it's derogatory towards the Nebraska volleyball team.
Yeah, well, I think what they ought to do is just everybody forget it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, really, I mean, that, you know, what goes around comes around. If that's the way, you know, if our people are, you know, really upset about it or vice versa, I think it was, you know, when you get into this kind of stuff, yeah, you know as well as I do. I mean, you could go out to – when I was at Arizona State, they painted the side of the mountain and put U of A up there. And
oh, wow.
Box. I mean, it was – you know, they did all kinds of stuff. So, you know, to me, it's – you know what it is? It's college athletics.
Mm-hmm.
It's been going on for a long time, that kind of stuff.
Is there an instance, you just mentioned the U of A Arizona State rivalry. Was there a moment of disrespect you felt from a team that you used as motivation, either from a Colorado or say an Oklahoma or even some of the Florida schools?
Well, the one, you know, when I was coaching at the U of A, I met at Arizona State. I was there 3 years,
mm-hmm.
and until the second year, I didn't realize what this was all about. I mean, I knew it was a rivalry, but I mean, I didn't know. what it entailed exactly. But, you know, when I look back on it, of course, we won all three of the years I was there, but I didn't see anything, you know, in the game, fighting or pushing or shoving or, I don't remember any of that kind of stuff. And I'm sure there was a little bit of it, but that happens in every game. But, you know, that's the one thing. I think in those days there was probably a lot more respect. The coaches were at banquets together and they knew each other and they were, you know, it wasn't a big deal. But that, you know, it's hard to think what's going on in their heads today. Now, Colorado had some things on their board that weren't really written by the newspaper, but it looked like they were written by the newspaper.
Really?
You know, that was taken for granted. And, of course, you know, we get kickbacks from what a person said about them and so on. It's always what we said about them and what our fans said about them and this kind of stuff. So I don't know when the ball snapped, if you think about that.
I don't either. You can't, you know?
No, but it can get you fired up for the game, but it can't last. You got to play and can't worry about all that kind of garbage because, first of all, the players themselves weren't involved. You know what I'm getting at? It was somebody else on the side. It could have been the newspaper. It could have been the whoever. But it really doesn't entail the players themselves doing it. And I always looked at it kind of that way. You know, this was set up, and you know, there was just some things that you hear about 15, 20 years later by the person that was kind of in charge of it.
Sure.
I mean, you know, and to me, you know, I didn't realize it was happening.
Right.
Till he told me, you know.
You're just worried about winning the ball game and getting your guys ready.
Yeah. Well, we didn't know about it. I mean, we knew that the players said something, and I thought, well, maybe they did. I'm not going to run up to one of our players and say, did you say that? I just let it fly. You know, there's no sense in starting something, you know, creating more. You know what I'm getting at?
It's a big enough game as is, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt. Coach, I want to switch gears and talk signing day and recruiting Nebraska. And Coach Frost and his staff been working their butt off. They've been doing a tremendous job. A lot of really good kids they like and a lot of in-state kids. And I want to spend a few minutes on that, just the priority you guys had. Can you pot that down for me? That'd be wonderful. We had NFL Films wanted to jump in on us. So we'll mute them. But I wanted to get your thoughts here, Coach, on in-state, just the priority you put on in-state kids and the walk-on or the scholarship. So being able to keep in-state kids home, and I think Barrett Rood and Coach Frost and company have done a great job of that this year.
Oh, I'll tell you what, to me, that's the most exciting thing about a recruiting class, to me, you know, is that, you know, you look back and see who the guys are, that some of the guys that, you know, were walk-ons, that Derry Nelson didn't get a scholarship. You know why he came to Nebraska? Because he's going to show Coach Osborne that he made a mistake.
Sure.
And, you know, and that's how a lot of it goes. I mean, it's you know, that was the way it is. And I remember them turning scholarship, which kind of hurt me a little bit inside because I know how the guys at UNO were working on football in South Dakota and all those schools, and then they would be offered scholarships, and then they'd walk on at Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was kind of the dark side, I guess, of it. You know, as far as I was thinking about it, I thought, well, you know, that's amazing a kid can pass up a scholarship. And, you know, and do that. And I don't know what kind they gave, so maybe it wasn't worth it. But I remember Mike Tramner. He was our a walk-on. He ended up being our captain, and he wouldn't take a scholarship. He and his dad decided, hey, we came in this way, we're going out this way. And, you know, when you have a captain that's, you know, and one of your top leaders in tackles and stuff like that, you know, you know what the players and the parents and the people in this state feel about the program. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's above and beyond the call of duty, you know, because kids are so excited if they get one. I would guess that the in-state kids are, you know, nowadays are, you know, more highly recruited than they were in those days.
Oh, big time.
Yeah. So it's, you know, you're chasing in-state players, and it can be really a tough go. But it sounds like when I read or I see a little quote about one of the players that how happy they were and how grateful they are, the coaches for giving them a chance to play, and that's how you win. Those guys are coming here and they want to do one thing, and that's win and play. And so that's how it works.
Well, it makes the practice is better. It makes the performance in practice better, and that goes directly to the field. And it's the in-state kids that are so important to that walk-on or scholarship. And Coach, got about a minute here, a minute and a half before we say goodbye. And that's just a tough line to walk, isn't it? Knowing when to offer a kid in-state or have them walk on and earn one eventually. That's got to be a tough discussion.
Well, it is. It is. But, you know, one of the things is what we did is we brought these kids in, whether it was scholarship, walk-ons, on a consistent basis for games. And I think as time went on, there was, you know, Tom got a chance to talk to him and use the word, you know, coming and walking on and earning scholarships. If you made the two deep, you got a scholarship. That was the end of that one. And so I think that a lot of times players, didn't feel, and I don't think they do now. I think they see what's going on. I mean, I can see kids on our team now that are from out of state that are going to deserve a scholarship who walked on. And I mean, and that's more of it. That'd even cost a little bit more, you know, just to come here. So I don't know. I just feel so good about what's happening. And how they're doing it. I think Kenny Wilhite's doing a great job with the coaches in the state. You know, he's moving his feet, and you know, maybe before it wasn't quite that way because there wasn't that kind of a push on it. Mm-hmm. And I think it upset him too, you know, at the time. Sure. Up with other coaches.
Well, they are doing an amazing job of keeping in-state talent here, and they're having kids turn down some scholarships to come play for Coach Frost. Coach, we want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We are off next week with all the bowl games and whatnot and Christmas Eve. And so we'll talk to you in 2019, but I want you to have a great time with your family and holiday.
Well, same to you and your family and all the people back in Nebraska, all the Big Red fans and everything. First of all, thanks for everything you did for us. Mm-hmm. And have a great new year, everybody back there. Be proud of who you are.
Absolutely. Coach, we'll talk soon. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
There he is, Mr. Blackshirt, Mondays with Charlie, because we are off for Christmas Eve and off for New Year's Eve. Danny's like, I get a night off? We just lock Danny in the closet, say, just stay here. Jay Moore's on the way.
All-State, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red and NFL vet.
Is Dudeness or Duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We say hi to Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, Blackshirt Monday at JayMoore44, and you watch him on Big Red Wrap-Up. Jay, how's the weekend been, man? What's up?
No, it's good. It's the weekend was great. Just kind of getting caught back up. I was out of town on Thursday and Friday this last week. Was able to get down to Naples, Florida, and play some golf with some buddies, a buddy that lives down there, and then couple of us that went down, a couple of us Nebraskans that went down there and played. So it was good to play golf for a few days, enjoy some warm weather. But unfortunately, you know, when you do that, you miss a few days of work. You got you kind of get punched in the mouth when you get back on that Monday. So I'm just trying to get caught up on everything. But all cut up now and good to go.
Got to get your take and your reaction. You've been in a lot of locker rooms, high school, college, NFL, and the fallout and conversation and narrative is not been Stanford 2018 national champs for volleyball. What a great match between Nebraska and Stanford, but it's the whiteboard artwork that has got Nebraska fans fired up. An apology from the Stanford athletic director. You've got a new era and day and age where everything is there for public consumption via social media. What's your reaction to this and the Nebraska fan outcry with how Stanford depicted Nebraska?
You know, when I first saw it on social media, on Twitter, my first reaction was, oh, that's a pretty good drawing. You know, that's not even on a whiteboard. Yeah, it's like, that's pretty good. I think it was a little like, huh. You know, because I know the sensitivity of nowadays, but I'm like, to me, it's no big deal. I don't, it's whatever. It's your locker room. That's supposed to kind of be your area. You know, you shouldn't have too many cameras in there. That's your place. Wasn't like they had it on a whiteboard out on, you know, on their sideline for everyone to see. I mean, that's kind of their spot. That's where they go to before and after and during a game. I think it's, and to me, it's not a big deal. Like, you know, I think that's just, you want to call it, you know, people being a little soft, you know, the snowflake, you want to, or anything you can call it. That's just the world we live in. I do understand that, you know, Stanford's had some issues in the past with the band, you know, making fun of, you know, I think it was when they played Iowa in the Rose Bowl a few years ago, they kind of busted their chops a little bit. You know, it's just, it is what it is.
Stanford likes to pimp people.
Yeah, you know what? Go ahead. Yeah, we all know you're going to leave Stanford making six figures plus, and yeah, we know you're a lot smarter than all of us. sure. You know, but you know, my you know, you're a lot dorkier than a lot of us though too. So, you know,
you're channeling Ogre right now, screaming nerd
right,
is what you're doing.
Right. Yeah. But they'll trump that. Well, you know, with the whole bank account statement here, and you know, that's an easy trump there. So, you got to watch what you say to those Stanford grads. But it's not that big a deal. You know, I think if this was the fact that it's women's volleyball, I think kind of makes a little bit of a difference. If it was a men's sport, you know, maybe it's a football locker room, I don't think it's the biggest deal, but you're dealing with the women's volleyball, maybe it has something to do with it. If Nebraska would have won, would have been that big a deal.
No one knows about it.
Right. And the fact that people are a little annoyed with Stanford's coach and some of the antics on the sidelines has a little bit of, you know, the salt to throw on the wound, but you know, it's an overreaction. You know, it's you know, tomorrow it will be, I think it's in the past, and it's had its run for 24, 48 hours.
Jay Moore's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Jay, let's talk recruiting. Nebraska set to lock in the 2019 class, a large portion of it. And you and I will be on site at Hail Varsity 10 to noon with a live video show. I'm excited about that. Overall thoughts here, assuming no surprises happen in 2 days, about this class, the job that Nebraska's done, specifically in state. I know you work with a lot of high school coaches in state, and the mood, the vibe that does exist within the state borders now, not just in the Omaha Metro, but all the way out to Scotts Bluff. You've got scholarship kids, and you got walk-on kids that have turned down good programs to walk on at Nebraska. What's that say about Frost, about Rude, and what they're doing here in state?
To me, it's there was a time frame, and I wouldn't say kids' interest in Nebraska football had dropped. I would say that a lot of the coaches' interest in Nebraska high school football had dropped. They're just giving them more time and effort, you know. Barrett, I mean, being a Nebraska kid himself is, you know, banging the trails in state and making the necessary stops. And it's important. Coach, you know, Scott knows it's important. He knows, as being a Nebraska guy himself, that these kids, yeah, they might not contribute year one or year two, but it's still important to them. And they're going to bust their tails from day one in practice, given your scholarship and older players really good looks. And then utilizing that mindset towards the kids that are getting the scholarships and recognizing the talent and still understanding that, yeah, these kids still, even you know, a Heinrich or a Nelson or a Hickman, whoever it may be, yeah, they might not play year one, maybe even year two, but they have a great skill set that they're gonna contribute one day or another. And knowing that, that having the patience for that to see that, I think that's half the problem with past staffs, that they didn't see them as, oh man, this kid can come in and play day one. They're like, let's not even worry about it. And that's not the way. That's the way. You know, it can't be that way. So that's the biggest thing. And you got to keep the talent in state. And if you can keep kids from going to NDSU and South Dakota State. In South Dakota and even like K-State and Kansas and obviously Iowa, you got to do that, whether it's a scholarship or walk on. You got to put those walls up around your borders and make sure that top talent is not getting out. They're going to get plenty of attention from other schools, but you got to make sure they're staying here. And it also shows, you know, with a kid like Garrett Nelson from Scott's Bluff that, I mean, this kid is a phenomenal wrestler. Mm-hmm. He's foregoing his senior year of wrestling, a chance to win another state title, to come and enroll early and get into spring ball. So that just shows you how important it is with these kids to come in and get off to early starts. And anymore, it seems like these kids are coming in earlier and earlier. It almost seems like that was out of the norm. Now it's the norm to come in early instead of showing up in May and June when school gets out. So it's great. You got to keep that in-state talent here. That's phenomenal. Obviously, an in-state kid myself. You always root a little harder for those in-state guys. And then you seal it, and you go out and get that exceptional out-of-state talent. Your Wandale Robinsons. You know, your all those guys. Mm-hmm. You go down the list, and that those top level talent guys, you bring those in, and then you supplement them, these Nebraska guys, and that's how you build your foundation of your program.
Jay, did you feel pressure, or did the coaches, the Solich staff, because they did a great job of in-state recruiting and development, did they let you know that, man, you got time to get better, or did you feel like I had to come in and push day one? How did you transition? Because I know you played early.
Yeah, well, I mean, it took some time. We've had many conversations doing the show. I mean, it took time for me. I thought I was on the same level as a lot of those guys that I came in. I was nowhere near it. It was a pretty humbling, rude awakening experience to see that, man, I needed at least a year. In Texas, I needed 2 years to become mentally stronger, physically stronger, and grow up a little bit and mature. When you're in high school, man, you think you're untouchable. You think you can walk into a Division I program and a top level Division I program, and you think you can play. I thought I could play, you know, early on. There was no chance. I mean, there was zero chance. And Coach Solich or Coach, you know, Barnes or Coach Jamrog, whoever those coaches were early on in my career, they never were expecting me to play right away. It took me some time to develop. I never was a defensive end in high school. I was a running back mm-hmm. and a stand-up outside linebacker. So it took time to develop, you know, the strength and the techniques and the pass rush abilities and understanding what offense are doing to you, understanding a reach block, a base block, a cutoff block, spilling, you know, leveraging blitzes, dropping in coverage. It took time for me to understand that. Because I came up from a pretty basic system in high school as well, so there's a lot that I had to evolve and build and kind of be patient with. Did I like it? No. But was it paramount in my development? Absolutely. So there was zero pressure. Some kids can come in and play right away because they play out of Texas or somewhere where the football's a little higher and your skill set's developed a little more and your play calling and your schemes are a little more advanced, but that wasn't the case for me. And so it is what it is. So I did what I had to do, and it took maybe a year longer than I wanted to, but it all worked out in the long run.
Jay Moore's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Jay, NFL weekend real quick. And a couple of surprises, Seattle in overtime gets nipped by your 49ers. The Rams, losses in back-to-back weeks. Is it as simple? Start with the Rams. You shut down Gurley. You shut down L.A. Is that the reality right now?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of, you know, basic square one, you know, of football. You stop the run, and you're going to win a lot of football games. And Goff struggled a little bit here in the last couple of weeks. I thought it was kind of a fluke, you know, performance last week against the Bears because of the cold. Mm-hmm. He struggled again. You know, the Eagles are a pretty good football team, obviously. They're defending world champs. But, yeah, Gurley hasn't gotten it going. Hasn't gotten his touches. You know, defense isn't. You know, they're able to stalemate. You know, Sue and Donald a little bit more and getting the ball out of their hands quicker. So it's a bit surprising, but it's a long year. It's a very long year. You know, the Rams are going to be in the playoffs, and you know, let's finish this year strong for them and get in the playoffs, and let's make things happen. And the 49ers stymieing the Seahawks. It's, you know, talk about a crazy year with the 49ers. You know, they're obviously not in it at all, but where the Seahawks are, and for them to do that at home and have the young quarterback from Southern Miss continuing to play well, that's another great performance for them. And the Seahawks will still be there; they'll be in the playoffs, and hopefully they'll be able to, you know, they'll get a good shot at here coming after the first of the year.
Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer, follow him on Twitter at JMoore44. Jay, we'll see you around 10 o'clock for the recruiting special with HailVarsity.com. Bud, thanks for the time.
Yep, you got it, Smitty. Looking forward to it.
There he is, Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer. Jay Moore, don't forget Wednesday is signing day. Hail Varsity going to be all over it. Our writers and various talented folks going to be on different sites, different locations for you. As part of the signing ceremonies, Jay and I will be back at the Hail Varsity offices 10 to noon. Facebook Live and HailVarsity.com, a video show for you. 10 to noon, and then an extended Hail Varsity with Danny Burke and myself, the recruits, the analysts, the insights you want from 2 to 6 this Wednesday.
Now live from the ESPN Lincoln Studios, it's Hail Varsity.
I know what that means.
With Chris Schmidt and Danny Burke.
It's all right, time for Fact Check Monday with Hail Varsity Radio. Daddy, how'd the weekend go? How did we do?
It was tough. It was tough.
It's a long, long pause. How did we take Sunday into Monday? I know you were up early today filling in, but be honest with you. You got a little 5 o'clock shadow going. Not sure if the hair's washed. You're in comfy clothes. Did this weekend kick your ass?
See, it was a great weekend, but it was also a terrible weekend. So I'll explain. Let me think. Saturday. Okay, so we had the two games Saturday. We both said Broncos. They lost.
Right. We both thought it'd be close.
Yeah.
Like field goal Denver.
Right.
Instead, it was
Case Keenum was terrible.
Man, I don't.
That was brutal.
I don't get how he can go and be good enough to go NFC Championship a year ago with that defense and no Delvin Cook and just manage, okay? And then increase the zeros on his check with a pretty fearsome defense and an altitude advantage,
mm-hmm,
and suck. How can John Elway be this bad at picking quarterbacks? He's been awful, and he won't put the bottle of scotch nor the reins down to let someone else talk some sense into him about quarterbacks. I mean, he went and got Peyton, fine. Got you another Super Bowl. You got Vaughn. I'm not saying Elway's awful as brass, but man, his quarterback choices have been brutal. I mean, for the quarterback call they made with Case, they got Lindsey, good back.
Mm-hmm.
Freeman, good back. Denver running game, not bad. Denver defense, they draft machines in their front seven. They're good. They're really good. So I have no answer for you other than Baker's pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, it's hard to root against that guy. So that game didn't really hurt me or anything. It was more just our prediction. So I think that was the only game we did Saturday. I think we stayed away from the Jets, Texans. What else did we do? I think you said Packers over Bears. You hated on my Bears.
I wanted to
troll you. They won and they cover, baby.
No, I know. But don't kid yourself. When it was 14 apiece after it was 14 to Nothing. You were a little freaked out.
I was just more thinking. Well, I was waiting for Aaron to blow this game.
I was waiting for Aaron Rodgers to go nuts, and instead, Leroy Butler calling him out on Twitter was the highlight of the weekend.
Yeah, that was funny.
What's with that guy? Is he just moody and getting grumpy because the window's not been closed? It's been locked with McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
But now someone else is going to come in, maybe Zach Taylor, which would be cool. And he doesn't get to kind of throw his weight around anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's too good for them to be this bad.
Yeah, he said his groin was a little issue in the second half, which everyone's kind of just like scoffing at. But, I mean, I do believe
probably.
He's obviously had injuries.
He's been
the whole
beat
year.
Up.
Yeah. So, yeah. What else did we have? I'm trying to remember. I think we stayed away from Bengals, Raiders.
Didn't care.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I'll get into my part. And when we
did
go,
you see Darren
Revelle?
We'll
remember.
Did you see Darren Revelle?
About his tweets about the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, there's a guy. The tweet that the guy went 12 for 12 on parlays.
Oh, no, I didn't see that. I just saw the losses.
$500 bet that ended up netting almost 50 G.
Jeez. Actually, I think I did see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he needed the under for the Niners game to close it out.
I think the Rams are in trouble. I think Goff is in a bad place. I think they're stopping Gurley. And I think Goff is phenomenal when he gets his play action. But if it comes down to just Goff having to throw to beat you, ain't happening. It's not that he can't become that. It's folks have adjusted to him. And the Rams' defense, as good as they are,
terrible
against the pass, i.e. with the corners back and with Donald and Sue, they're bad against the run. They're
awful
against the run.
Worst defensive performance I've ever seen.
And that's coming off of your guys putting up double digits.
The Rams have made the do not bet list for the rest of my life.
Okay.
Wow.
And here's why.
Wow.
I had two teasers, four parlays, a five-team, two four-team parlays, and a three-team parlay. Every single team hit in all of those.
Except
I only needed the Rams against the freaking Eagles at home, against Nick Foles, who was my boy in the Super Bowl. I love him for that. But they screwed it. It wasn't even Nick Foles. It was the Rams. They shot themselves in the foot. That was the worst defensive performance I've seen this year out of a team.
They're losing
so many
focus
studs.
And they're found out.
They let 45-year-old Darren Sproles just run up on them. And then that Smallwood guy, whatever his name is. And then Jared Goff has arguably the worst play since the butt fumble with that interception. What the hell was that? You can't do that. That was
Coach
that was
Brad has chimed in via email. And he's like, rule number one, rookie, don't include the same team in all your parlays.
Yeah, I know, but they're a 13.5-point favorite. Look,
my
they weren't supposed
God.
To lose this game.
Oh, my God. You turn. Anytime it's double digits.
I had money line. I didn't have the spread or anything.
Okay.
They just needed to win. And then it comes back to haunt it, and people were pointing out
that's,
on Twitter.
That's fair.
Listen, so Todd Gurley.
He looks hurt.
Todd Gurley, yeah, he gets hurt. The offense clearly runs through him, but he screwed betters this year with not getting the over, and he didn't cover the spread for that one game.
Five.
I got screwed on that spread, and he screwed me in fantasy by going down. And all this year, he had the chance to be the hero, didn't do it. The one time he tries to be the hero, he tries to stay in bounds, doesn't go out of bounds, and the clock runs down to 5 seconds and only gives him one more play. So Todd Gurley just got that to bite him back in the butt. But anyways, before that...
You're an angry little guy today.
Well, of course, dude. It was the worst performance. I mean, and then they get the ball back. The punt returner has one job, not to muff the ball. I was literally thinking, I was like, you got one job here. Biggest play of your life. Right? Don't muff it. He catches it. And then he muffs it. No one even hit him. He dropped it on his own. I mean, there was the side-by-side pictures of Sean McVay getting pumped up. All right, we did it. We got 3 minutes. We got this. And then he muffs it. His face after was just like he wanted to throw up.
Sure.
I've just never, like, I thought the Steelers game was bad. Like, that was, I just couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Okay.
But I accepted the loss in the third quarter, so it wasn't even surprising.
That's the other thing we got to talk about. Are you going to throw dirt on New England? Finally. We all want to. As much as we love Rex, do you throw dirt on New England?
Yeah, I thought from the earlier, the beginning of this year, the farthest they're getting is the AFC Championship.
They don't lose back-to-back games, and they don't lose back-to-back games in December. They've done that now.
Mm-hmm.
Or do they just kind of fool us all? I mean, they're kind of a nightmare right now, offensively.
Yeah, definitely offensively. I don't know what they're... they're just not really utilizing Sony Michel. And no. Rex looked all right, honestly, but I just don't understand what
he's a complimentary situational guy. He hadn't a 25 touch dude. He could give it to you a couple of games. I don't know that he's just not done it that way in his career.
Yeah. But yeah, otherwise, besides the Rams screwing me, I actually did fine. Like I had the Cowboys. Or no, not the Cowboys. I had the Colts.
We were both all over the Colts.
Yeah. Bengals I put a little money on too, and obviously my Bears. So it was fine. But it's just like I couldn't believe the Rams were the team to screw me and all of that.
See, the offense that is soul-searching the most right now, you can argue between Dallas and Los Angeles, at least the Rams still put up 23. Philly still got a heartbeat.
If Nick Foles is a quarterback, yes, and he will be. So.
Yeah, I like Wentz, but he's had a tough one. We'll wind down on Monday. That is your Fact Check Monday with Danny and Schmitty.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time on your Monday at Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt. Right to Chicago's Danny Burke. Go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman now. As I tell you what, you have Sauter Heyman, the best, most prestigious jeweler in the area, up to 70% off on quality jewelry, and never before savings like this, the total inventory liquidation sale. Don't wait for best selection. SauterHeyman.com, South Point and Grand Island only are the two locations that have this 70% sale going. So when you're there, though, you can sign up for a free $5,000 one-carat diamond pendant. That would make me smile. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Greg Smith going to be with us tomorrow on signing day eve. We will run down Mitch Sherman in the 5 o'clock hour, and it's buffet time with Rick Pizzo for your Tuesday. Reminder, Wednesday, a full court press for you from Hail Varsity on signing day. 10 to noon, me and Jay Moore on HailVarsity.com. That'll be cool. We'll break down some recruits. We'll get some insight from our various folks on the ground at different signing ceremonies and maybe talk to a commit or two between 10 and noon. And from 2 to 6, an extended version of Hail Varsity Radio. Me and Danny will go through the class. We'll have Jacob Padilla. We'll have Greg Smith. We'll have Brandon Vogel. We'll have Aaron Sorensen. We'll have some of the recruits that have signed on with us. Brad Edwards is going to be with us. So pretty cool. Pretty excited about it. So if you go into my folder, there is a music bed that we're going to use as the sounder for this mixtape tour that has New Kids on the Block, that has Salt and Peppa. You give me credit for that one. I did like Push It. That was cool. Good song. What else is part of the mixtape tour in June? Debbie Gibson, Tiffany, and the band I liked, or group, forgive me, Naughty by Nature.
Yeah, what, I like Naughty by Nature.
Naughty by Nature was awesome. So this is what we're going to play. And we want you to call in to win a pair of tickets to see New Kids on the Block and the mixtape tour. It's in June, but how about the stocking stuffer right now? Caller 9. Get you a pair of tickets to see New Kids and that mixtape tour. Caller 9, stocking stuffer time with Hail Varsity and ESPN. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Caller 9, this is a good jam. Okay, there it's ended. Caller 9 right now for New Kids and the mixtape tour tickets. A pair of those. Stick them in your back pocket. Stick them in your stocking. Or do what you want with them. But caller 9 makes it happen. Monday Night Football coming up. Many of our Hail Varsity affiliates will have it.
Who you got tonight?
Who you got?
Well, I saw it at 6.5. Home dogs were the Panthers. I bought half the point. Like them at 7. Saints are 0-4 on Monday night. I'm also doing it just because of how wacky this weekend was.
I think I'm going the other way. This weekend was nuts. New Orleans wins. Carolina covers. Fair?
That's what I'm saying.
All right. Tomorrow at 4, we'll talk to you. Thanks.